The book, the Paul's letter to Philippians and the chapter 1. Paul's letter to the Philippians and the chapter 1. And we want to bring to a conclusion our short series of sermons in Philippians 1:27. Pardon me. Philippians 1:27. On the subject of walking worthy of the Lord and His gospel. But we'll just read some verses tonight again from Philippians 1. We'll just move down to verse 12 and we'll read from there. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defence of the gospel. What then, notwithstanding every way, whether in pretence or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labour. Yet what I shall choose I wot not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you, or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which ye saw in me, and now here to be in me. Well, verse 27 of Philippians 1. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you, or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Now from this text, the truth that I am seeking to emphasize to you is that Christian people are to live their lives in a manner which is worthy of the Lord and His gospel. And in the four sermons that have been delivered thus far upon this text, I have set out for you the requirement for Christian people to live their lives in a manner which is worthy of the Lord and his gospel. And in connection with the requirement, I have spoken of the profession of Christ as Lord and Saviour, our loyalty to Christ, and our testimony for Christ, that is, our public witness, our witness as a church for the Lord Jesus Christ and to his gospel. And in each, I have sought to show you how a lifestyle that is worthy of the Lord and his gospel is a requirement for Christian people. And then last time, we began to set out for you the benefits that result from Christian people living their lives in a manner which is worthy of the Lord and his gospel. And in beginning to set out the benefits, there are three distinct benefits that I mentioned. First, walking worthy of the Lord and his gospel is a God-glorifying practice. It is a God-glorifying practice. And we dealt with that point on Sunday. And then this evening, I do want to show you, God willing, that there is also the benefit, second, walking worthy of the Lord and his gospel encourages other believers. It is a lifestyle which is an encouragement to other believers. And then third, walking worthy of the Lord and his gospel strengthens the cause of our Lord Jesus Christ. It strengthens the cause of our Lord Jesus Christ. So I want to address the second and third benefits this evening. Second, walking worthy of the Lord and his gospel encourages other believers. It encourages other believers. It is an encouragement to the people of God. It is an encouragement to other believers. And if we make reference to our text, we shall see that very clearly. Our text reads, Philippians 1 and verse 27, "Only let your conversation be, as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you, or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." Now we are saying that walking worthy of the Lord encourages other believers. And the particular part of verse 27 that I want to call your attention to at this point are those words, and we quote them, "that whether I come and see you, or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs." I may hear of your affairs. The apostle has a desire that whether or not he is able to come in person and to visit Philippi and the church in person, he has a desire that he will hear of their affairs, and the reports that he will hear will be of such a nature, will be to such an effect, that they will inform him that the Philippian church, their conversation, their manner of life is such that it is becoming of the gospel. And as it is becoming of the gospel, he has this hope that he will hear of them, that they stand fast in one spirit, that the report will be that with one mind they will be striving together for the faith of the gospel. He has this hope that he will hear this sort of report, that there is no compromise among them in terms of the faith of the gospel, that there is unity in the church. They are with one spirit and one mind, striving together, promoting the gospel being proclaimed, its doctrines being set forth, the people of the church of one mind, one spirit, striving together, standing fast. This is what he hopes that he will hear. This is what he hopes the report will be. And if he does so, it will be to him a tremendous encouragement.
It will be to him a tremendous encouragement to hear of their affairs, to hear the report that they are walking worthy of the Lord. They're standing fast. They're striving together. That will greatly encourage him. That will greatly encourage him as a believer. It will encourage him. Now, we should not forget that in this chapter, the apostle, as ever, is very focused on the cause of Christ, upon the furtherance of that cause, upon the increase of Christ's kingdom. Certainly, when he writes of his own imprisonment, he is careful to point out that the things which happened unto him have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. And so it will be well for him, it will be for him an enormous encouragement, if he hears of the affairs of the Philippian church, that they are walking worthy of the Lord, that they are of one mind and one spirit, striving together for the faith of the gospel, because that is what he is about. That is what he is focused upon, and it will certainly encourage him to hear such a report. And this would be true of all believers. It would certainly be the case with those who love the Lord, who have an interest in the cause of Christ, who desire to see men and women brought into the kingdom, who have a desire to see churches grow and advance and strengthen. It would be the hope, it would be the desire, that reports that would come, the reports would be that the conversation was as it becometh the gospel of Christ. And if the hearing of the affairs was that their lifestyle was worthy of the Lord, that they were standing fast in one spirit, that they were with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel, it is a report that would strengthen. It is a report that would encourage all that would hear it. And certainly it is true. If we hear of, not just in terms of churches, but if we hear of individuals, perhaps we haven't seen them for some time, or whatever it happens to be, and we hear they're going along well, they're zealous for the Lord, they're living for the Lord, and so on. That's a report that encourages the true believer in Christ. And of course it's true to the contrary, isn't it? When a report comes, and the report is that the lifestyle isn't as it ought to be, when there's been a slippage, when there has been a decline, when there's been a discouraging report, If we speak of a report, whether it's an individual or a church, if we speak of a church which once stood fast, which once strove together, but is now hopelessly divided, is not of one mind, is not standing fast, perhaps a spirit of compromise creeping in, the testimony, the public witness to some extent undermined, it is the case, isn't it, that there is discouragement in such a report. And so I put it to you that a manner of life which is worthy of the Lord and his gospel, it is an encouragement to other believers. And of course, it was true then, and it's true now. News of these things always gets about. Affairs are reported. News travels far, and it at times travels fast. And a manner of life which is worthy is an encouragement to other believers. It is an encouragement to other believers. In Ephesians 1 and verses 15 and 16. In Ephesians 1 and verses 15 and 16. We read there, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." Well, here again, a report has come to the apostle, and he says, "I heard of your faith, I heard of your love unto all the saints, how you loved and expressed your love unto your fellow believers." And the upshot of that report was that the apostle says he ceased not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Here's a good report. Here's a report which would indicate a lifestyle which is worthy of the Lord. And it was of such a nature that it was an occasion for thanksgiving. The apostle ceases not to give thanks for such. It is of such a nature that it encourages prayer. It encourages thanksgiving. It encourages prayer, making mention of you in my prayers. It's clear, isn't it, here, that a lifestyle which is worthy of the Lord, this is an encouragement. It is an encouragement to others that hear of it. We can make reference to 1 Thessalonians and chapter 1 and verses 2 and 3. "We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labour of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father." Now here again is a Christian people, and the manner of life is such that it is becoming of the gospel. It is worthy of the Lord. It is honouring to God. Mention is made of their work of faith, their labour of love, their patience of hope. Reference is made to a walk, to a lifestyle that is worthy of the gospel. And you will see again that this is an encouragement. It encourages thanksgiving. We give thanks to God. It encourages prayer. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. Such believers are a cause for thanksgiving. They encourage thanksgiving to God. They are an encouragement in terms of prayer. They spur on like-minded believers to pray with gladness, to pray with joy, to pray with thanksgiving. They are an encouragement to other believers. All too often, in the modern day church, we hear of other believers, and the report is grieving, it is discouraging to the heart of the people of God. Let us determine we will not be those whose affairs are such, whose manner of life is such, that we are discouragements to other believers. Let us be those who are, by our manner of life, are encouragements to the children of God. Now, third, this evening, walking worthy of the Lord and His gospel strengthens the cause of Christ. Walking worthy of the Lord and His gospel strengthens the cause of Christ. Now, Philippians 1 and verse 27 again. Philippians 1 and verse 27 again. "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." Now let it be understood here, the apostle wants to see the cause of Christ strengthened. He wants to see the cause of Christ strengthened. His whole Christian life is about this endeavour. He is about the cause of Christ being strengthened. He is zealous with regards to unbelievers coming to faith. He is burdened for the evangelization of the Gentiles, the spreading of the gospel, the establishing of churches, and so on and so forth. This is what he is interested in. He is looking to see such churches grounded in the faith, going on with the Lord, living in a fashion that is bringing honor to God, and are themselves an
an instrument for good. The apostle is all about strengthening the cause of Jesus Christ. And here again, in Philippians 1:27, there is that desire to see the cause of Christ strengthened. He writes here, and he exhorts with a view to strengthening the cause of Christ. Let me put it to you in this way. The apostle knows that a church, a group of Christian people who are of one spirit, who are truly united, a group of Christian people who are standing fast, who are not compromising with the pagan world in which they find themselves in, who are striving together for the faith of the gospel, who are promoting the cause of Jesus Christ, the apostle knows that ordinarily a strengthening of the cause of Christ will follow. There will be, subject to the sovereignty of God, there will be the salvation of sinners, there will be a strengthening of the cause of Christ. And he is well aware that underlying all of the efforts that are made in the gospel, there must be a conversation, a manner of life, which is becoming of the gospel that is being proclaimed. Because if there is not that, if there is not that standing fast, well then compromise will come. The one spirit will give way to disunity. The striving together will give way to general apathy. He knows that it is vital for believers to walk worthy of the Lord and his gospel, and he knows that such a lifestyle is vital to the strengthening of the cause of Jesus Christ. He knows that it is vital. In Philippians 4 and verses 1 through 3, we read there, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which laboured with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow labourers whose names are in the book of life." Now in Philippians 1:27, the desire is expressed by the apostle that the Philippians would stand fast in one spirit, no compromise, and so on. Again, that is repeated in Philippians 4, verse 1. He says, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and long for my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved." Again, there's this emphasis given, there's this exhortation, do not compromise, stand fast in the Lord. In Philippians 1:27, there is the desire expressed that there would be a striving together. There would be that one spirit, one mind. There is this desire for unity. In Philippians 4, verse 2, that desire is personally applied. Euodias and Syntyche are beseeched that they be of the same mind in the Lord, that there be a unity there in the Lord. Now notice in Philippians 4, notice in verses 1 and 2, in connection with verse 3, that this is all closely connected to the prosperity of the cause of Jesus Christ. The apostle does link this to the cause of Christ. Because in verse 3, when we read it, he writes to them as fellow laborers. He writes to them as fellow laborers. He speaks of the true yoke fellow. He speaks of women which labored with me in the gospel. He speaks of other my fellow laborers. He is speaking to them as those who are laboring in the cause of Christ, those who want to see that cause strengthened. That's what they're laboring for, after all. And really, he's putting his finger on the fact, look, as laborers, you need to stand fast. As laborers, you need to be of the same mind
in the Lord. This is important in terms of the strengthening of the cause of Jesus Christ. He knows that a deficient lifestyle weakens the cause. It weakens the cause. Disunity weakens the cause of Christ. Compromise weakens the cause of Christ. And so on. So there, and apathy, of course, weakens the cause of Christ. So there must be this lifestyle. There must be this conversation which is becoming of the Lord. And so I say to you, look, walking worthy of the Lord does strengthen the cause of Christ. So these are the benefits. These are the benefits. Let me say to you this evening, let me say to believers who are living such a life, who do have a conversation which is becoming of the Lord, be encouraged. Be encouraged. These are real benefits. The lifestyle that you are living does bring glory to God. It is a God-glorifying practice. Be encouraged. It does encourage other believers. It is a help to others when they know that you're going on with the Lord, you're standing fast for the Lord, as a group, you're of one mind, and so on. That is an encouragement to others, and it does strengthen the cause of Jesus Christ. And under the hand of God, it is a blessing and a strengthening to the church. And I say, of course, be encouraged and do not be afraid to continue along such lines. The people of God, very clearly, according to the teaching of our text, are to live their lives in a manner which is worthy of the Lord and His gospel. They are to pay no attention to the ungodliness of the world that is around them. They are to pay no attention to the weakness of worldly wise Christians, compromising Christians, Christians who have succumbed to apathy and indifference with regards to the cause of Christ. They are to pay no attention whatsoever to that. They are to pay attention to the Word of God as it's found here in Philippians 1:27, and we are to let our conversation, notice the word only, that word only just gives it that bit more emphasis, only, this is so important, let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, so that whatever happens, the report may be of you that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. That was important for the Philippians. It is equally important for us. And may the Lord help us to have such a conversation that is becoming of the gospel of Christ. May He bless His word to our hearts for His name's sake. Amen.